start doing maybe some of the Halachos of the Yom Narayim. Okay, let's begin. I want to begin with the Tosos, the small Tosos, which we didn't see yet. Okay, so let's see that inside. And then we got to start the big Tosos. With a lot of Nyanim that we have to be mocked and introduce. I remember when I first did the big Tosos too, I also, if you guys asked me in Seder, I saw the phrase Ole Baba, I had no idea what that was. So we have to be mocked in what that is. Okay, let's see the small Tosos, Mikvar Lud and Lud. Seth, you want to read? Go ahead. Let's see the Tosos Mikvar Lud. Go ahead. Omri, yeah. Excellent. So what's Tosos bothered by? Well, many times Tosos and Rishonim have an implied kasha that they don't speak out like an Im Tomar or Tema. What's he bothered by in the Lashon and Mishnah? What's he bothered by? Someone tell me, what's he bothered by? What would you say? Go ahead, Yossi. It says the destination. It doesn't say the Tanakhama. It doesn't say I may be get minisiam l'eretz Israel, or Rebbe Gamliel doesn't say I may give you minarek minchag l'eretz Israel. Rebbe Lazar all of a sudden tells the makom of the destination. That's what Tosus is bothered by. Okay, why on earth does Rebbe Lazar mention in his lashon and he articulates Yeshita as saying the makom of the destination? That's his kasha. Okay, that's what Tosis is in fact very much bothered by in this Tosos. So what's the reason answer, Seth? That what? That even though what? Kfar Ludim became what? Became Kfar Ludim because the people from Lud moved to Kfar Ludim, right? And they settled there, and by the fact that they moved there, they are living there. It's kind of like they developed a city. I don't know, you have a city that all the suburbs get developed because people from the main city move out to the suburbs, and that's how suburbs are created. So, and therefore, one might have thought that what? That there should be no need to say b'fanei nechta, because either in Lishma, even if they're, if you talk about Lishma, the people in Israel learn it, so they move from Ludim to Kfar Ludim. Or if you talk about transportation and Mitzuyan being around to be able to verify the signatures, also they have a it's like a twin city. So if that's the case, why in fact would you want? Why in fact would you require b'fanei nechta? Therefore, go ahead, Seth. Afiluachi. Oh, that's the Chiddush, that even though you would have thought there shouldn't be a problem with Lishma, even though you would have thought there shouldn't be a problem of what, finding signatures to verify the veracity of the signatures that they're not forged. Nonetheless, Rabbi Lossi says, I'm sorry, this is Chutz Lards, you're required to find an after, The Lashon of the Gemara, Daftalim and Avsalom, Tachlok, the Medina Siyam, we make a whole plug. We don't care about what city it is, how the city developed. It's a low clue. All the cities in Chutz La'aretz, according to Blazer, says require b'fanei nechta. I don't care how close it is. I don't care how it developed. I don't care whether you think there's no problem with Lishma, no item around. The bottom line is you still need b'fanei nechta, because it is called Chutz La'aretz. That is, in fact, what the Re is answering. It's a beautiful answer. Go ahead. That's the Chutz. We don't consider it like Lud itself. Go ahead. What is Rabbeinu Meir? Another one of the great Baalei Hadassos. What does he say? He says, I'll tell you why Rabbi Elazar mentions what? Mentions his destination. Why? Because where was Rabbi Elazar from? No. What city? It's the Gemara is a comment in Rabbi Elazar, Achar Rabbi Elazar Lulud. Follow Rabbi Elazar to Lud. Those are people who I guess didn't know where Rabbi Elazar had went, they came late. They should follow after Rabbi Elazar Lud, because where was Rabbi Elazar from? Lud. So that's why he mentions his town. He mentions his town because Lamaisa, that's where he was from. So he wants to highlight his town. Okay, he wants to highlight his town. That's why he mentions Kfar Lud and Lud. Go ahead.
Right.
Right, in other words, the Ri doesn't buy that. He says, Kol Shekein, you shouldn't have mentioned it. Just like the Tanakam didn't mention Medinas Yam L'Eretz Yisrael, go ahead, Dipshita. Excellent. Dipshita in Eretz Yisrael. It's clear, it's simple that it's in Eretz Yisrael. And it's also Pshita that Rabbi Elazar lived in Lud. You don't have to mention it, right? So the Ri is a very strong taina on the Riva. I mean, why on earth would you, because he wants to mention, what, he wants to give PR to his city? What's the pshat? He wants to give PR to his city? It's pshita that it was Eretz Yisrael. It's pshita that he lived there. It's very, very bizarre, this Rabbeinu Meir. The Ri started off saying what he said, what we said the Chiddush was. Then they told us quotes Rabbeinu Meir. And then the Ri says, I don't buy this Rabbeinu Meir at all. It's not a stabber at all. What's the svar of the law? Bless you. It seems very, very schwer to say like this. What's the pshat of Rabbeinu Meir that he wanted to mention his city? It's pshita that it was Eretz Yisrael. That we were referring to Eretz Yisrael. They kfar lunim to anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. What's up, Shad Rabbeinu Meir? So the Yeshua wants the masber for the Rivam to follow. He wants to say there is a chiddush. Because the Beis Din of Rabbi Elazar was in Lud. And therefore, one might have said, Lamaisa, since the, even though the Beis Din of Rabbi Elazar was in Lud, and there was a lot of what, and we'll see in the Gemara when we get to that later, whenever there's a Beis Din, we know there's a lot of traveling and communication, there should be no problems of ever trying to verify anything. That was where Rabbi Elazar's Beis Din was. Not just that it was Rabbi Elazar's hometown. His Beis Din was there. Whenever you have a Beis Din, there's no problem of ever verifying any signatures. And therefore, because of the fact that Rabbi Elazar's Beis Din was there, therefore, writes the Pnei Yehoshua, I would have thought there's no need to say b'fanei nechtam. Nonetheless, Kamashman, you still need to say it. So that's what he wants to say. And Rav Chaim Sofer doesn't like the pshat of the Pnei Yehoshua, but nonetheless, at least we have a little bit of a hesber in the pshat of Rabbeinu Meir. Okay, so what emerges is two pshatim, Rabbeinu Meir and the Ri, as to why the Mishnah mentioned Lud explicitly. Either because it was a chiddush, you would have thought that what? It developed through the town of Lud, which is near Shul, you would have thought there's no problem, there's no problem, they didn't assume the Kaima. Kamashman, still yes. Rivam says it was his hometown city. That's very difficult. The Ri says it's Pshita, hometown city was there. So we know there are Belozer was in Lud. What's a chiddush? Says the Pnei Yehoshua. No, the Rivam said that his Beis Din was there. If his Beis Din was there in Kfar Ludin, you would have thought, Lamaisa, I'm sorry, even though the Beis Din was in Lud, it's very next to Kfar Ludin, you would have thought that there was no need to say, Fanech Mashman, you do need to say. Okay, very well. Excellent, Seth. Okay, that's the pshat of the Tais. Now we come to the big Taisis. We have to see the pshat is, Lamaisa, in the different Kvulin, in Eretz Yisrael and in the Mishnah. Okay. Who wants to read the next Taisis? Isaac, go ahead. Ashkelon Kedaro, go ahead. Oh, we find that the Mishnah implies that Ashkelon was in Chutz Lartz, correct? But Rabbi Natan says a Puskin Yoshua that says Ashkelon was from Eretz Yisrael. What's it talking about over there? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mitzvah Yoshua to cast lots on the cities that Klaiso eventually was going to capture and distribute. And Hashem is already telling them, you read Vahapila. The Lashon is it's a patach, Vahapila. Go ahead. Lanachla, Kashir. Excellent. So Hashem is already telling them which lands they have to distribute. Go ahead. Vahakach. And then they captured it. Can you receive? Excellent. So Tois asks a very clear kasha. Our Mishnah implies that Ashkelon is Chutz Lartz, and therefore you say, well, if you bring it again from Ashkelon, you have to say, however, there's a Pasuk in Yoshua and in Sefer Shoftim that says very clear that Ashkelon was in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Very, very clear kasha. Very clear kasha. What is the story with the geography here? Okay. It's important that we should mention the following, and that is that let's read the Teretz first and then we'll mention. Go ahead. So everyone got that kasha? Very clear kasha. Go ahead. Oh. The holy bubble didn't capture it. Kidamar? the city of Beit Shan. Anyone been to Beit Shan? We were there when I was in the Eretz Yisrael Shalbim. We used to do Shabbatonim there to work with the Ethiopian Jewry. So in Beit Shan, go ahead, Gabby. Beit Shan, I'm not sure if it's the same Beit Shan as what we're referencing here. Go ahead. Krachim means many large cities. Go ahead. Excellent. Go ahead. Oh, so this opens the whole Pandora's box to what the whole notion of holy bubble is. Okay, let's begin as follows. There is normally we assume in halacha here that there are two times the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael collectively in the history of the Jewish people. Okay, two times. What are the two times? The two times are with Yoshua, the first time, and the second time is with Ezra, when they came back from Paul. Okay? With Yoshua, that is called the Ole Mitzrayim. When Yoshua brought the Yidden in to Eretz Yisrael, that was called Ole Mitzrayim. And that also has the following phrase, which is called Kitcha Rishona. That was the first time that Kedusha was imbued on Eretz Yisrael, when Yoshua brought the Yidim in. Kitcha Rishona. Okay, that's called Kitcha Rishona. When Ezra brought the Yidim back from Babel, and not all the Yidim came, unfortunately, that is called Olei Babel. They came up from Babel, and that is also called Kitcha Shnia. Okay? This is the second time. Now, there is a collector's item sheet, and this is the standard approach. Just to think you should just know it. But as I said, this is a collector's item. There is a Tosfos in Yohanes that says that Kitcha Rishona is when Avram went into Eretz Yisrael, and Kitcha Shnia is when Yoshua brought the Yidim to Eretz Yisrael. But as I said, that is a collector's item sheet, and we will not work with that. Okay, but I want you just to know it. It's a Tosfos Yavamis on the top of Pei Beis and the Beis in the name of Rabbeinu Hanana. He writes, Yerushas Arishonas Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Shenius is Yerushas Yoshua. Okay. But as I said, this is the standard approach, and this is what the Rambam writes, and this is what he is Mechadish. Okay. Now, Yoshua is the Holy Mitzrayim, and Ezra is the Holy Babel. Now, there is a machloikis all over Shas, okay? Before we get to that, this is what Tosa's answer is. Tosa says you have a stira. Is Ashkelon considered to be chutzpah or Eretz Yisrael? Well, the Pesukim and Navi imply it's Eretz Yisrael, say it explicitly, and our Mishnah implies chutzpah. No problem. There were many lands that the Holy Mitzrayim captured that the Holy Bubble did not capture. Ashkelon was one of them. And therefore, since Ashkelon was not captured by the Holy Bavel, therefore, it is classified as being chutzlarts for purposes of our Mishnah. And therefore, you must say b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. Okay? That is the Chiddush of Tosfos. That is his answer. And obviously, what is Tosfos assuming? That our Mishnah, very important we get this premise, that our Mishnah is being what? Regulated by who? The borders of Eretz Yisrael regarding the Fanei Necha Fanecha are regulated by who? The Ole what? Ole Bavel. Okay, that is very important. That's what Tosfos says. We're going to see in the Rambam holds not that. Tosfos clearly holds that our borders are regulated based on the Ole Bavel. Okay. Now, let's get to the Rambam. The Rambam describes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira the following, and it also fills Trumas, but let's start with Hilchos Beis HaBechira. Rambam says there's a machlokes all over Shas, okay? Is Kitcha Rishona, Kitcha Lasalavo, is it permanent or is it not permanent? Is Kitcha Shnia, Kitcha Lasalavo or not? Is it permanent or is it not permanent? Oh. The Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, in Perek Tetvav, Perek Vav, in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Halacha Tetvav, points out the following psak. Let's get it. The Rambam writes that Kitcha Rishona is Lav Kitchulosolo. Lav Kitchulosolo. The Kedusha that Yahushua brought in to Eretz Yisrael when they conquered Eretz Yisrael and imbued Kedusha on the land did not stick. Once they were exiled, the Kedusha evaporated. Because the genre of the Kedusha was Kibush. It was called Kibush. The Rambam writes that explicitly. And it was called Kibush. It was called Kibush. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Once they were exiled, the Kedusha evaporated. That's the sheet of the Rambam regarding Yahushua. Then the Rambam goes ahead and says, and Kitcha Shnia is Kitcha Lo'asabal. When Ezra brought the Yidden back to Israel and they imbued Kedusha on the land, that remained everlasting forever and ever. That Kedusha sticks forever and ever till today. Why? He writes one word, the Rambam. And here at Paul, look at that time. He says, Kizu. They took it b'chazaka. It's like chazaka. They took it with strength. How's that different than kibush? Oh. So the Rabbaz explains in Hilchos Trumas, Halacha Hey, that when Ezra brought the Jews in, they were mekadeshit b'peh. Ezra was actually mekadeshit with his mouth. When you're Mekadosh with your mouth, it sticks forever. And when Yahushua brought the Yidin in, he was not Mekadosh to depend. He just depended, he relied on his conquering of it. Once they were exiled, it evaporated. So please get that Rabbaz down. It's in Hilchos Trumas Perek Aleph Halacha Hey. That when it came to Yahushua, it was no Kedushas Peh, it was just divine and conquer. When it came to Ezra, it was with Kedushas Peh, and therefore remained forever and ever. Okay. That is the shot of the Rabbaz. The Rav Zatzal had a different shot. The Rav claimed as follows. The Rambam points a phrase here in Hilchos Pesach Bechira in Perek Vav, Alachatet Vav, Alachatet Zayin, and he writes, reading from the middle, of Halacha Tetzan Lefisha Kedusha Samikdash Yerushalayim Ne'ashchina Ve'shchina Eina B'Teila. Rambam has an unbelievable phrase. Rambam says the Shechina is Eina B'Teila. Look at the Rambam writes. Meaning, in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, Kedusha remains forever and ever. If someone goes to the Malkum HaMikdash today, where Tommy makes, one would be Chayav Karas Chas V'Shalom. Because the Mikdash lasts. Kedusha Shechina Eina B'Teila. Rambam has this amazing phrase. The Rav Zatzal said like this, that when Ezra brought the Yidden back from Babel, he took the Kedusha that existed in the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, which was the genre of Kedusha Shechina, and he expanded it to all of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, not only was the Makom HaMikdash in Yerushalayim of the genre of Kedusha Shechina, but all of Eretz Yisrael was Kedusha Shechina. And therefore, the psak is that Kitcha Shnia is considered to be Kitcha L'Asad Lovel. That's what Chazaka means. It's stark. Stark because it comes from the Shechina. And therefore, all of Eretz Yisrael remains Kedusha L'Olapot. Whereas during the times of Yahushua, it's just the Kibush through conquering. And once they were exiled, it evaporated. That's the Rav's pshat. It's a very beautiful pshat. That's what the word chazaka that the Rav wanted to say meant. Okay? So all of the Kedusha in Yerushal, in Eretz Yisrael, is Kedusha Shechina. That's why Kedusha Shechina is Kedusha L'Asalam. Okay? The Ravid, though, argues on the Rambam. The Ravid says, Pum Fakert. The Ravid says the following. The Ravid says that even the old Kitcha Shechina is Kitcha L'Asalavo, that's only about the rest of Eretz Yisrael. But he says, the Makom HaMikdash, he says, Lo Amar. Once it was destroyed, he said, there is no Kedusha. And he writes, He said it was revealed from Shammai. He saw Hashem Yireya. There's a few times in the Rav, he writes, 4 or 5 times he writes, he had like Ruach HaKodesh. Of course, all the Rishon HaGruach HaKodesh writes specifically, Ruach HaKodesh he received, that if someone goes to the Makom HaMikdash, you're not Chayav Karas. So the Rav says, please get it, that when you say Kiddush Shniya, it's only regarding Eretz Yisrael, right? Lashar Eretz Yisrael. But you're Shalayim, there's no Kiddush. Therefore, if you go there nowadays, you would not be Chayav Karas in the Makom HaMikdash. Now, our Prime Minister Sharon should have Refu Shlema, obviously must have held like the Rav, when he went up there many, many years ago. But there is a Meiri in Masechet Shavuos that holds that the Rabbi said there's no Chiyuv Karis, but there is an Isser Lav. It's a question how to interpret the Rabbi. Did he mean it's completely mutter, or did he just say there's no Chiyuv Karis, but there's an Isser Lav? Okay? So the Rabbi says, Kid Shishnir Rak Lashar Tzro, the low Yerushalayim. The low Yerushalayim, the Lachim HaMikdash. Who walk on a mikdash? Okay, that's an amazing shittah of the Rav, and it's a question where the Rav meant to the governor. How do we pass it? Can you go there nowadays? No. The Magen Rav passes like the Rambam. That halacha levaisa, you're not allowed to go to the Makom HaMikdash because the shechinah ain't at the table. Okay. So we have this amazing one, amazing machlokes Rambam Rav, but we must know this presentation of Kitchishniya, Kitchirishona, Kitchishniya, Holy Mitzvah, Holy Bible. Now you know what it is. You have it. Now you know what it is, what it means. Okay? Now, let me ask you, Lefi the Rambam, would Trumas and Maestros Bisman Hazeh be Bidirais or be Midirabana? What would you think? Based on what we've said from the Rambam. What would you say? I would say exactly what you just said, it would be Bidirais. Kitchishniya is Kitchilasabana. The Rambam says it really should be, but it's not. Rambam Hilchos Trumas, I don't think I gave this to you, this Rambam, please, if you get a chance, look it up. The Rambam Hilchos Trumas Perek Aleph Halacha Chav Vav points out that in reality it should be the Raisa, but there's a problem. The problem is that when Ole Vavel came back, it was not the majority of the Jewish people. And in order for Trumas and Maestros to be the Raisa, you need what is called Bias Kulcha. You need a majority of the Jewish people to be in Eretz Yisrael that exist on the planet Earth. And that didn't happen, unfortunately, when Ole Vavel came back. A lot of them did not come back. Therefore, the Rambam writes, granted the land is Kadosh, but in order for Trumas and Maestros to be in Midiraisa, you need the notion of Bias Kulcha. And therefore, since we do not have Bias Kulcha, the Rambam writes, Trumas and Maestros Bizman Hazeh is only what? Midrabanan. Very important, the Rambam writes. And guess who argues on this? The Rambam. And the Rambam writes, I'm sorry, Rambam. The requirement of Bias Kulchan is only limited to Hilchos Chala. The Gemara in Ksubis and Chavtalot Bedeis says by Chala, the mitzvah of Chala to be Midiraisa, you need Bias Kulchan. But who says Trumas and Maestros has that prerequisite? And the Rambam claims that Bizman Hazeh, Trumas and Maestros would in fact be Midiraisa. Rambam would say, both Sarif, you only need Bias Kulchan, Rambam, just like Rambam Chala, but not for Trumas and Maestros. The Rambam expanded it to Trumas and Maestros. Okay? So this is the concept that we have of Ole what? Ole Vavel, and this is exactly what Tosis gives this Teretz Lemaisa, that he claims that Ashkelon was not captured by the Ole Vavel. It was only captured by the Ole Mitzrayim. Okay. Now, it comes out, let's just get this, that Rabbeinu Tam added that the borders in our Mishnah are what? In correspondence to the Ole Vavel. Correct? Rabbeinu Tam said because there were Talmidei Chachamim there and there were Batei Dinim Kfuyim there. What is that mashma? What is that mashma from Rabbeinu Tam that you read so nicely, Isaac? That what? Please get this. That according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not enough that you need Olei Bavel to capture the town, but you also need what? Talmidei Chachamim to be there and Bate Dinim to be there. To ensure Lishma, and also to ensure that there will be Kiyum. So I want you to add on that according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not enough that the borders of the Mishnah are regulated based on Olei Bavel, but what has to be there is Talmidei Chachamim, and also Batei Dinim. Mashma, that if there would be no Talmidei Chachamim, and there would be no what Batei Dinim, you would have to say Mefanei Nechta, despite the fact that the Olei Bavel had captured it. Okay? So it seems like the notion of Mefanei Nechta is not just Talui. Does not just depend upon whether it's labeled as what? Kedushas Haaretz. But it depends upon, it's got to be your so, but it's also have to be what? A Merkaz of Torah, where it's got to be Talmidei Chachamim, and there has to be what? Bate Dinim there to ensure Lishma, and ensure that the signatures are not what? Are not forged. That's what comes out from the Rabbeinu Tam, and the truth is the Tosa Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Tam saying the same thing, that you need Talmidei Chachamim there as well. However, I gave you the Rashba. The Rashba, when he quotes Rabbeinu Tam, does not make a mention at all of Talmidei Chachamim. So it comes out from the Rashba's version of Rabbeinu Tam that our Mishnah just cares about what? Olei Bavel. That's correct. And it doesn't make a difference whether it was a Merkaz HaTorah or not. Okay? So you have two different versions of what Rabbeinu Tam really what is driving at. Okay? Oh. If you look in the Rambam, though, as we had mentioned before, the Rambam does not agree with Rabbeinu Tam. The Rambam says the borders of our Mishnah are not regulated based on Olei Bavel, but the Rambam writes the borders of our Mishnah are regulated by Olei Mitzrayim. Mamish Olei Mitzrayim. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Gittin, in Perek Zayin, Halacha Hey. Shliach hanevi get nichutz large leretzrof sarach lomer b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechta. What does he say in halacha tes? Perek Zayin halacha tes in Nichols Gittin. He writes tchumei eretz Yisrael yisparu bilvos trumas. He says the tchumim of eretz Yisrael I will explain to you where in Nichols trumas. Lo and behold, you open up Nichols trumas. What does the Rambam say? Rambam writes in Perek trumas perek aleph halacha Zayin. It is clear from the Rambam that the gvulos of our Mishnah are regulated based on Olei Mitzrayim and not Olei Bavel. That's clear from the Rambam. So the Rambam clearly is arguing on this Rabbeinu Tam. And the way we discern the Mishnah is the notion of what Olei Mitzrayim, not Olei Bavel. This is the Rambam Shita. Rambam has a tremendous chiddush here. The truth of the matter is Rashi is mashma that as well. Which Rashi is mashma that? Someone suggest for me which Rashi is mashma that? What does Rashi say? He says what? Reckon the Chagger. Who said that? Seth, very good. Because what does he say the western part of Eretz Yisrael is? The Yamagodol, right? So you get the impression, right? From Rashi, Rashi starts quoting you the Psukim and Chumash. Isn't Rashi quoting you Psukim and Chumash? Rashi's quoting you Psukim and Chumash. If Rashi's quoting you Psukim and Chumash, that has nothing to do with Olei Bavel. The Olei Bavel existed after Tanakh. So if Rashi's quoting you Psukim on the Mishnah, as to the borders, that is a tremendous indicator that Rashi's holding like who are the Rambam, who holds that the borders are regulated based on only what? Only Mitzrayim. Okay, that's the chiddush that we want to suggest, the Rambam and Rashi. And the truth of the matter is as follows. What emerges from the Rambam, if that is so? That according to the Rambam, the borders in the Mishnah are what? Are only Mitzrayim. What emerges from that? What do we say the Rambam presentation is, you'd see that Olei Mitzrayim is what? Is what? Is Kishri shown? Is that everlasting? No. So what's the shot? Why on earth would our Mishnah base itself on Olei Mitzrayim where the kedusha doesn't last. That's a bomb kasha. So what's the wrongness of the Rambam? Why would you say that you would regulate the borders of our Mishnah, determine what is in the front of that, based on the borders of Olam Mitzrayim? Why? Why would you want to do that? The kedusha doesn't last, Rambam. That's the Rambam Shita. That's in fact the Rambam Shita. So what is the pshat, Lamaisa? What is the pshat? Oh, so this is where I want to suggest the following. Bert was from a bar of Beit Katzal Red. He said, why don't we say the two din? There's a din called Shame Eretz Yisrael, the Kedushas Arts. There are certain parts of Eretz Yisrael that have the title of being Eretz Yisrael and also have the Kedushas Arts. Both. But there's another track that has what's called the Shame Eretz Yisrael, the lead Kedushas Yisrael. The Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, we should say. Right? The two things. You can have one type of land that has the title of Eretz Yisrael and the Kedusha. And you can have another type of land that has the title of Eretz Yisrael, but it is void of Kedusha. So you say to me, Rebbe, what does that mean? That's a title of Eretz Yisrael. Then soon you get married, you'll get by a house, and you'll get a title to the house. Or, you know, maybe somebody have cars. There's a title on the car, right? You need the title. What does it mean? So, there are certain dinim that only require a title, that don't require a kedusha. There's an amazing Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Sanhedrin, in Perek Dalid, Halacha Vav. Amazing Rambam. In Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Dalid, Halacha Vav. The Rambam writes, there is a concept of smicha. What is smicha? Smicha is when a rav gives a talmud smicha. Now, the smicha started, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to give smicha to Yoshua. Okay, there's all sugya and Sanhedrin about it. We don't have the smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu on down, it became a nullifier. The chain was broken. Okay. The rav has a stunning chiddush in Perek Dalid in Hilchos Sanhedrin, I'll look it out, that he can restart smicha. All the rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael elect one rav, then they can restart smicha. Rav has a tremendous chiddush in Perek Dalid along the Yudav. That's called the chiddush HaSmicha. Rav has a phenomenal chiddush. And they tried to do it in times of the Beis Yosef. But the rabbanim in Spot wanted to elect the Rav Yosef Karo, the Beis Yosef. The rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael didn't want to do it. Told Shad how to read the Rav. Rav says you need kol chacham. So the rabbanim in Spot said, roll is kol. We're roll. And the Rabbanim Yisraelim said, no, coal means coal. And we don't want it to do it. They love the Mishnah, but they didn't want to restart it. Well, Kiddush HaSmicha. Okay. But the Rambam, the Perek Dalid of Vav, says a phenomenal Kiddush. Smicha requires Eretz Yisrael. To give Smicha, you have to be in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Smicha is not Trumas and Maisos. Not Mitzvah Tluyos Baretz, right? Not bad at all. The Rambam writes, what types of lands do you need for smicha? Rambam says, phenomenal chiddush. And he writes, Chol eretz shechziku bo olei mitzrayin is ra'uy v'smicha. The end of Halacha Vav, Chol eretz yisrael shechziku bo olei mitzrayin ra'uy v'smicha. Wow. Phenomenal Rambam. Any land that the olei mitzrayin captures enough for smicha. Why? Someone tell him smart. Because for Mitzvah's glorious parents that banish need the land, that's number one track. You need Shem Eretz Yisrael, you need Kedushas Aretz. Right? And therefore all the tribe cannot supply that because Kitchen Rishon is live Kitchen loss of love. But if you're dealing with a category that only requires the second track, namely, all you need is the title. Do you think smicha requires kedusha? Why should it require kedusha? It's not Mitzvah Baretz. So as long as it was a land that only the tribe captured, that's enough to give it a title of Eretz Yisrael. Even though there is no kedusha Aretz, therefore it is Rahui Wat, it is Rahui the smicha. This is how our Lord has coined the phrase, Shein Eretz Yisrael, but we can do starts. Old and Mitzrayim are those lands that are Shein Eretz Yisrael, but they are not Kedushas Haaretz. And that is considered to be enough set for what? For the rules and regulations of a Fana Nechah, which makes a lot of sense. If I would ask you, what would you hold like, Rabbeinu Tam or the Rambam more? Rabbeinu Tam said our borders are regulated based on what? Only what? Bubba. Right? And he answered that Ashkelon was an only one bubba. So therefore it's considered to be what? Kutzlars. The Rambam says that all the lands are what? Based on only Mitzrayim. If I would ask you, would you take the halacha b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam and model it after only Mitzrayim or only bubba? What would you tell me? Someone tell me in Lomas. I'll be smart. The din of b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. Would you look at only Mitzrayim as your reference or only bubba? What would you say? Seth, what would you say? Is b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam Jewish and Mitzrayim? No, it's more like Smicha, right? It's a halacha. It's a halacha that requires your instruction, but it's not telling the ground. You follow what I'm saying? If you'd asked me, I would have said like the Rambam. As long as it has the title of Eretz Yisrael, that should be enough to what? To be the model for the borders of a Fana Nechma Nechma. Wouldn't you say that? Is that a bit of Kedushas Haaretz of Trumas and Maaseres? So the Rambam is quite mistaken. And the Rashi, you want to say, holds like the Rambam as well, that the borders of our Mishnah are intended to hold in Mitzrayim, not hold in Baal, because the borders of our Mishnah require Shein Eretz Yisrael, number two, and not Yisrael. And what are lands like that do that? Hold in Mitzrayim. I'll give you another example. The Ravaz, there on that Rambam, quotes the Kaftor Vaferech. Very important. What other categories would require only Shein and not Kedusha? Number one, living in Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. Who says it requires the Kedusha, like Ole Bubba? As long as there's a land that was what? Ole Mitzrayim? What else? Being buried there. There's an Indian to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe a land that had Shein Eretz Yisrael is enough to be buried there. Another example I'll give you. The Rambam in Hilchos Rot Seach. In Perek Yud Olach Aleph says the din of Egla Arufa is in Eretz Yisrael, and it says V'chein be'Eber Hayarde. What's Eber Hayarde? You know, transshorter. We're going to get out of the Arufa. He says that's good enough for Egla Arufa. So we just listed off a bunch of din. Number one, Smicha. Number two, living there, Yishuv Haaretz. Number three, Kfura. And number four, we're saying Egla Arufa. Because the Rambam writes Egla Arufa could even be Transjordan. Transjordan wasn't captured by the Holy Bible. It's only captured by the Holy Mitzrayim. Egla Arufa. These four categories are what? Seth? Shein Eretz Yisrael, not Kedushas Haaretz. You follow what I'm saying? You could put number five on that list. What would be number five? B'fanei Nechtam? B'fanei Nechtam. Therefore, the Rambam is very, very mistaken. Rambam is very, very mistaken that the borders of our Mishnah are modeled after Ole Mitzrayim and not Ole Bubba. They're not called Ole Bubba. And we have two versions of Rabbeinu Tam. That we probably come in there or not. Okay, Rambam held not doing. One sec. Okay. So this is a very important machlokes that we have between what? Between the Rambam and the Tosfos right off the bat, Lamaisa in the Mishnah. Okay? Right off the bat, how to learn the Mishnah. Now, there's one more item that we have to get. I want to just go on. We'll go a little bit further, okay? There's a little bit of a difficulty, though, on the Rambam before we go weiter in the Tosfos. Why is that? What's the difficult? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Trumas, in Perek Aleph Halacha Tes, that the Ole Mitzrayim never captured Ashkelon and Akko. So that's a big problem. If they never captured Ashkelon and Akko, right? What's the pshat? The Rambam writes that. What's the problem with that? Rambam writes they never captured the Ole Mitzrayim, Ashkelon and Akko. What does the Tesef Mishnah ask? The Psukim say that they capture. You just read the Tosfos, Isaac, right? How can the Rambam argue that in Tanakh? Rambam said that they never capture Ashkelon and Akko. They never captured Ashkelon and Akko. How can the Rambam say, Lamaisa, what's with the Psukim in Tanakh? It says Beferis, like Tosfos says. So, the Kesef Mishnah writes, I want you to get this, even before Akko, that Ashkelon, half of it was in Eretz Yisrael, half of it was in Chutz Lartz. Exactly like Akko. That's the Kesef Mishnah's answer. Okay? And that's what exactly what our Mishnah is referring to, the Chutz Lartz part of Ashkelon. The Chiddush Yaron gives a different answer, that there were two Ashkelons. That's the way the Rabbaz and the Chazanish learn in the Rambam as well. But you got to take care of that point in the Rambam, okay? Because we're saying the Rambam says the Mishnah's borders are borders by the Holy Mitzrayim. But the Holy Mitzrayim never captured it. The Holy Mitzrayim never captured it. The Psukim said that they captured it, right? The Psukim said that they never captured it. The Psukim said they captured it. What's the answer? The answer is that Ashkelon, half of it was in Eretz Yisrael, half of it's Chutzlartz, or you have to say like the Chiddush Yaron, or the Rabbaz and the Chazanish, that there were two Ashkelons. Okay? So this is the terrorist that we want to suggest, border out, but again, the fundamental machlokes that we're bringing out is all the background on this, and the machlokes, the Rambam, the Rabbeinu Tam, are the borders of Mishnah corresponding to Ole Mitzrayim or Ole Baal. We also have two variations within Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. Let's just hold on the kashas, okay, because we got a position, we got a big Seder tomorrow, so ask me kasha position. Isaac, go by it. Okay? Let's go by it in the Texas. Go ahead. Reckon the Cheger's Mashmi, what is being Chutz Lartz? Go ahead. It's a little bit strange. I don't know what might be the answer for it, but you would have thought that Tosus, Reckon and Cheger were mentioned before Ashkelon, correct? In the Mishnah. So you would have thought that Tosfos would ask this kasha about Rekem and Cheger before Ashkelon. Okay? I don't have any answer for it, Lamaisa. The Marsha asks this kasha. I did not see the answer to the Marsha. Okay? But it's an interesting horror. I didn't think of it myself. Okay? Go ahead. Right. So what's the problem? Rekem and Cheger's mashma being Chutz Lartz. And what does it say in Yehoshua? That it's hard enough tolly, which is Eretz Yisrael. Problem. Go ahead. And you can't say that what? That the Holy Bubble didn't capture Rekim V'Cheger, which would have been a good answer like we said for Ashkelon. Why not? Put a comma, you're reading very good. Comma after the bubble, or period. Why? Did it sit free? Go ahead. Excellent. In the list of cities, in the Sifri, it says explicitly that it was captured by the Holy Bubble. So we're really stuck. Rekim the Cheger is captured by the Holy Bubble. If you're a bit of them, then it should be Eretz Yisrael. Why does the Mishnah call it Chutz Lartz? Very clear caution. Very strong caution. Go ahead. There are two Rekim the Chegers. Go ahead. Mitzar Gamini, if you look in the Targum Opus, and that was Eretz Yisrael. Go ahead. The Stom Avram Yitzar lived in Eretz Yisrael. Excellent. And also Yoshua's master of Plishtim was what was from Eretz Yisrael. Go ahead. However, the other Rekem V'Cheger was in the west of Eretz Yisrael. Go ahead. The Plishtim B'Ma'arov, period. Plishtim is in the west. Go ahead. Excellent. Yam Plishtim was the western border of Israel. Go ahead. And Rekem V'Cheger of the Mishnah was in the Mizrach, Kedamrinim. Excellent. So therefore what? It was considered to be what? It's considered to be, what does he say when he says this? He says that Rekem V'Cheger was the west of Eretz Yisrael. Right? Okay, and Reckon the Cheger, which is the one in Chutzlarch, is totally in the other direction in the east. So we're talking about two Reckon the Chegers. Okay? Nisha is talking about the one Reckon the Cheger, which is in the east, which is considered to be Chutzlarch, and the other Reckon the Cheger is where we proved it from Avram and Yehoshua, Avram Yitzchak and Yehoshua, and that it was considered to be in the west of Eretz Yisrael, and it was Eretz Yisrael, as you read. Very nice. Okay. Few points on this line of Tysus. So we've solved it by saying Reckon the Cheger, the two Reckon the Chegers. What did Tysus mean when he said Nistoma? Nistoma, Avram and Yitzchak were living in Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean Nistoma? They were living in Eretz Yisrael. What does Nistoma mean? What does the word Nistoma mean? Translate it into English. What does it mean? Stoma. You can't translate it. It's a stoma. It means probably. I guess probably is really not so good. Minastam means? It's a good shot. It's a slam dunk suggestion. Okay? But why is it? It's not a suggestion. Why do I say it's not a suggestion? We know for sure. What did our Kodesh Baruch Hu tell Yitzchak? What is Yitzchak known as? An Ola Tamima. He never left there at Shrove. It's an Alterid Mitzrayim. Gracious Perifavon Pasik Beis. Rashi says you're an Ola Tamima. Chutzros Nakhnailacha. Right? So what does it mean, the stumble? We know for sure Yitzchak didn't live outside of Eretz Yisrael. So the Sefer Masas HaMelech explains, is Masber, is Mitarit this Kasha. Yitzchak maybe lived in Eretz Yisrael that was promised the global Eretz Yisrael. That was including him in three nations. Loss of Lomo. Eretz Yisrael is going to be big. Here we'll be talking about Eretz Yisrael, Shekup, Sheholim, Mitzrayim. So Tosfos says, Mestama Avram Yitzchak lived in those borders that were only Mitzrayim. Lord, of course Yitzchak never was. Never lived in Chutzlarts. But that means that Yitzchak never lived outside the three lands that Hashem is going to make the global Eretz Yisrael Loss of Lomo. But the truth is, Mestama means that we can posit that they lived only in the cities where the only Mitzrayim captured. That's the Mestama. That we can now we know for sure Yitzchak didn't live out of Eretz Yisrael. But not only did he not live outside Eretz Yisrael, he lived in the lands that what? That the Holy Mitzrayim captured. Okay? He lived in the lands that the Holy Mitzrayim captured. The Sefer Masas HaMelech says that's the pshat in the Mestama. That's the pshat in the Mestama. Okay? Now, the truth of the matter is that maybe another pshat that we could suggest is that maybe the Mestama is going on Avraham, right? Avraham, it was before Yitzchak was born, right? We don't ever find that Hashem asked Avraham Avinu to go to Chutzlarts. We never find that. So maybe the Mestama was referring to Avraham. That's what I thought. Maybe the Mestama was referring to Avraham. Why would it be? What's the big deal? What's wrong with going to Chutzlarts, which we're going to discuss? It is a big deal. It's also to leave Eretz Yisrael. There's an Isser to leave Eretz Yisrael. It's in many places in Shas. There's an Isser to leave Eretz Yisrael. And we'll talk about Heterim, but there's an Isser. So that's why Mestama Avram Avinu never left Lamaisa, because the Gemara writes in Gittin, and I involve him in the base, that Hadar Eretz Yisrael Usser Latzeis L'Chutzlarts. And we know Avram Avinu, the Gemara writes in Yumos, B'chaim Kol HaTorah Kula. So Mestama Lamaisa, Avram Avinu also did not leave Eretz Yisrael. Mestama, he lived there as well. You know what the whole psukim with the wells. Maybe the Mestama was going on what? Was going on Avram Avinu. Even though there was no Isser said to him, but Mestama Avram Avinu fulfilled all the halachas. So he never left either. So you see, every lashon of Tysus, you can't just glance over Mestama. That's why it's Mestama. One pshat we suggested was regarding Las HaMelech Yitzchak. Another pshat that I thought of, and Yisrael Rabbi has as well, was referring to Avraham, that Mestama didn't live there. Okay?
Names.
Right, right, but look, you're saying why would it
should be one reason? Should be one reason.
You should have just said Avram, you mean?
Or it should be one reason. Maybe it's an Isser for Yitzchak also.
Well, the Isser definitely was for Yitzchak. The question is there was no Isser for Avram, so that's why it says Mestama. I'm saying the Mestama was referring to Avram, not Yitzchak. Yitzchak for sure was awesome. Avram left before Yehuda. Avram left before. But whenever he could, Lamaisu, after that time, Vayeshev ben Kodesh ben Shur, from that time on, he lived only in Eretz Yisrael. Right, but once he came back, he never would go out of the chutzos unless there was a heter. Okay? And that heter had to be either parnasa, or famine, or to get married, or for Talmud Torah. There's a three heterim the Gemara, the Shiltas gives. Talmud Torah, parnasa, and getting married to leave Eretz Yisrael. Okay? And then Tosis and Avodah Zarah and Daf Yud Gimel that just mentioned it, expands it to all mitzvahs. Any mitzvah can leave Eretz Yisrael. Only on what? Al Manas Lasso. Only on condition of what? On condition of what? Returning. That's very important. Okay? Al Manas Lasso. So please get that. There's an issue to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz with the following three exceptions: the Shultz writes, Tosis quotes in Avodah Zarah and Daf Yud Gimel. Either because of what? Parnasa, marriage, or Talmud Torah, and the Tosus expands to every mitzvah. Mr. Bruce says it's called a moy. You can even go visit a friend. Rias Pnei Chaveiro is called a mitzvah, as long as it's not an asbasu. Okay, that's a very good question. We'll have to talk about later, if we get time today or tomorrow, what the reason why there is such a mitzvah. But nonetheless, that's why it says Mistom. That's why it says Mistom. Okay, very good. Okay, so we have this answer, Lamaisim to Tysus, and that's how Tysus solves record. Go ahead, Isaac. Now let's go to Aacho now. Oh. This will relate back to what we said before. Go ahead. Aacho, the only bubble captured. So what's he bothered by? You tell me, Isaac. If the only bubble captured it, then it should be considered, according to Rabbi Natan's perspective, what should it be called? Eretz Yisrael, excellent. And the Mishnah presents that it's Chutz La'aretz. Go ahead. Rav Abba used to kiss the dirt of Akko, right? He used to kiss the dirt of Akko. Many people have a minute to when they get there, so they kiss. I haven't been at the new airport. I was at the new airport. But the old airport used to go down the ground. I used to kiss the runway. People used to think I was a Meshuggah. Like, you know, but it's Eretz Yisrael. So what's it mean? So Rav Abba used to kiss the palms of Akko, the heaps, the hills of Akko. Go ahead. And in Perek Mishachsu, which is the seventh Perek of Gittin, what does it say? The Gemara asks, you mean to tell me Akko's not Eretz Yisrael, Haven? There's a Mishnah there that applies Akko's not Eretz Yisrael. What does the Gemara ask? Go ahead. Ha? When the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael used to malach the Rabbanim of Bubble to go to back to Bubble, where would the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael stop? Because they didn't want to be over the Yisrael of what? Leaving what? Eretz Yisrael. Go ahead. When the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael part me, Adoni, from the Rabbanim of Bubble, I'm sorry, when the Rabbanim of Bubble would part from the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael, Adi Mithri Ma'adadi, they would stop in Akko. Go ahead with V. Excellent. One of my Rebbeim, Rav Sarev Nikshlik, he was a Rebbe when I was in Shalvim, he was a great goal. He's a Rebbe now in Machol Neiv, in Yerushalayim. He wanted to be Mechadesh. If you look in the Rashi there, in Gittin and I, above the base, he wanted to say the whole Issur is only for B'nai Eretz Yisrael. Meaning if you're a Ben Chutz La'aretz, and you visit Eretz Yisrael, the whole Issur doesn't apply to you. It's questionable whether that's what Rashi means, because maybe Rashi was only commenting on the Gemara. If you take a look, we have them, it's our Masechta. Rashi there in Ayin Vav Amud Bey says, maybe you'll underline it there, Rashi says, Asur lebnei Eretz Yisrael latzeis lechutzlaretz. See the Rashi here? I'd say it's about five lines above the Mishnah. There in Ayin Vav Amud Bey. Rashi says, Sheasur. See Sheasur? And Ayin Vav Amud Bey, Sheasur, because Medai, Sheasur lebnei Eretz Yisrael latzeis lechutzlaretz. So he says, the B'nai Eretz, you could say Rashi just explaining the Gemara, but he wanted to say Rashi was saying it didn't. Interesting. How do you determine whether someone's a B'nai Eretz or a B'nai Eretz? How many days you'll observe, let's say, on Yom Tov, right? Perhaps. Or where you live, perhaps. Where you live. Where you live, permanent your residence. Okay? Awesome. So what is the point here of this also, sir? This line of the thesis now, Isaac, that what? He's really bothered by this, because if Akko was captured by only Bubble, he should be Eretz Yisrael, and our Mishnah said he was kidding. And what are his proofs that Akko is Eretz Yisrael? Rav Abba used to kiss the tzavaka, and the rabbana would stop there. Yes? Oh. Beautiful raya, no? Great kasha. He's asking what she toss him. So there's an amazing rabban. I brought it from home, okay? I gave it the rabban in the Hashmatos. The rabban in the Hashmatos is in the back of Gittin in distribution. Hashmatos means there are parts of the rabban that he wrote added on later. The rabban in the Hashmatos has an amazing life. Amazing. The Ramban says like this. The Ramban says, "Inami svirlo kitchelosalovol in trumisomais chavivalayon that ikeda amik shlishishes lemavapinim chabisa bichibasa hiomedes ubekdusasalin in shivasa v'diros." What does that mean? The Ramban says an amazing thing. The Ramban writes, and we could slug up the raya of places. Tosfos brought two proofs that Akko was captured on the olive oval. Rabbi Akko kissed the hills of Akko, and the rabbanan would stop there. That's clear the olive oval captured, right? Olive oval is the Gemara, right? Oh, the Gemara is long after the olive oval. Oh. How would you slug up that riot? So you know what the answer is, says the Ramban? The truth of the matter is Butler Kedusha's arms. You could say that what? No! The only reason why that's considered to be what? The only reason why that's considered to be a land of Kedushas is because what? It's the second trap. It's Shane Merritt's Srub Kedusha. Maybe there is no Kedusha. Maybe there is no Kedusha there. There's no proof that the Holy Bubble captured it. Why is that proof the Holy Bubble captured it? Maybe they love it and they're kissing the ground of Akko and the Ramban stopped because it is the second track. It's Shem Eretz Yehusha. The Ramban says an amazing phrase, it's Chiba. Chiba Saharis. How do you prove from those two Gemaras that Akko was captured by the Holy Bubble? Maybe they just kissed it and they don't want to leave it because to fulfill living in Eretz Yisrael, it's enough to have a title of Eretz Yisrael. Maybe the Holy Mitzrayim only captured it. Maybe not the Holy Bible. This is an amazing Ramban. This is a Ramban that's also quoted this Ramban. The Ramban is saying the second track. It's a shame Eretz Yisrael only Kedushas Haaretz. That's what the Ramban means. He says, Malpikin b'chibosa hi omedis. It's b'chiba. It's b'chibosa hi omedis. It's a shame Eretz Yisrael b'li Kedushas. That's why, because they love it. You can film it to Yishor, like the Kaftan Beferet said. Like the Ramban's quote from the Kaftan Beferet. And they're going to be fine. It will work beautifully. Therefore, you have no proof that the Holy Bible captured, and therefore you can solve places Kasha very, very easily. Very easily you can say like that. That's exactly Lamaisa the way we can slug it up. Tosos obviously did not hold that way. And what did Tosos say? Tosos says, where the Holy Bubble don't capture anything, but look at the shards, like Chutzlar's Mamish. I want you to get this point. Tosos doesn't buy the theory that we're suggesting. Tosos did not say, this whole suggestion that we said was according to who? The Rambam, excellent. This whole development that the Rambam Rashi hold that the borders of Eretz Yisrael depend on Holy Mitzrayim, why? Because Shem Eretz only Kedushas, the Rambam and the Rambam Rashi, the Ramban, they have the Shtickle Torah. Therefore, they're not bothered by these passages from Akko. Because Akko never was captured by the Holy Bubble. It was only Holy Mitzrayim. So why are they kissing it? Because they have Shem Eretz only Kedushas. Our Tysus doesn't say that. You know why? Because Tysus doesn't buy this whole shtickle. If the Holy Bubble didn't capture it, it's not Kedushas at all. And there is no category of Shem Eretz Yisrael believed in the shards. It is a zero. It's a zero. It's either Holy Bubble captured, if they didn't capture it, it's nothing. And that's the Shittas HaTosfos. This is the Shittas HaTosfos. Now, I want to be my spirit, though. Don't get me wrong, that according to the Ramban and the Rambam, and we were back at Rashi holds like this. Let me ask you, if you go from number one to number two, do you think that would be okay?
You go from a land that had shame in its heart because you saw it, to go to number two. Do you think that would be okay? You do? You think it would be okay? I mean, you are downgrading a little bit, don't you think? You're not going to a place where you have kedusha. But the Ritva says black on white. Please get it. And the Ritva's holding like the Sorban theory. Please get it. That it's usur. Pshita that it's usur. It would be usur. Pshita that it would be usur. And he says that it's usur to do such a thing. It's usur to go from kibush sheni to kibush rishon. And therefore he says, how did the Rabbanon Lamaisa go to what? How did the Rabbanon stop at Akko? So what's the answer? How did the Rabbanon, the Ritva asks, Eich Hafu Rabbanon Akko, even though it's considered to be what? The cloud holding its Ryan, but Akko was what? Was not captured by the Holy Bible, so it should be Usher, right? So how did the Rabbanon go to Akko? They didn't go past Akko, but they went to Akko. How'd they go to Akko? The Ritva says it's Usher to go to downgrade yourself. How'd they go? See, nobody answers. In his answer like Tysus, he says that Akko was half the Thrones, half Eretz Yisrael, and they weren't the Eretz Yisrael part. And therefore, half of it was captured by what? The Holy One. Holy Bowl. Half of it was captured by Holy Bowl. So they went to that part. That's what the Ritva says. Okay? So I just want you to get this. Okay? Don't get me wrong by saying, oh, that is two is definitely, John, and not as good as one. Us to go from one to two. And that's how the Ritva says, well, how do they go to Akko? So he says, because half of Akko was captured by the Holy Bowl. That's where they're able to go. Now, what's the Svar? I want you to get this. This is what we have to get to now. What is the Svar-like Usher for a Yid to leave Eretz Yisrael? Why is it Usher for a Yid to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz Lartz? So let's give three reasons. Number one, the Ramban writes, there's a mitzvah chiyuvis to live in Eretz Yisrael. Just like there's an obligatory mitzvah to put on tefillin every day, we have to back our bags after shir, and then come out. That's what the Rabban says. Good? Mitzvah yishuvaritz. Obligatory. Therefore, leaving Eretz, where does the Rabban say that? In Parshas Maaseh. It says it all over his parish in Kodesh. The greatness of Eretz Yisrael. He says, Hashem appoints a sorrow for all the nations. And Eretz Yisrael, Hashem the photo mats, of course, divine providence. Hashkafas Pratis is everywhere. But it's heightened when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. Rabban writes the Sifri, Tzilach Tziyuni. All the mitzvahs we do in Chutz Lartz are practiced that we should do them right in Eretz Yisrael. We put out tefillin this morning so that we should do them right in Eretz Yisrael. Amazing tradition. Even though tefillin is not a mitzvah Lartz. Amazing, amazing Rabban. He says, of course, the Sifri or the Medrash, the Tzishkula, the Tzishkula, the Tzishkula, the Tzishkula, the okay. Be the Rabban, that's very clear. The first reason why it's absolutely very strong is you're not feeding yourself from the mitzvah, bakia, atzmo, mina mitzvah, shall use your bars. Excuse me, I'm sorry. That's number one. Number two, there's a Rashbam in Bava Basra, a Dafzadi Aleph from an Aleph that says, if you leave Eretz Yisrael, you cannot do Trumas and Maestras. That's very clear. You're not allowed to put yourself in a scenario where you're doing Pasuk Mitzvahs. First one is Lefida Rabban. Second one is Lefida Rashbam. Mitzvahs through his parents. There's a Vilna Gaon who gives a third reason. He quotes Yerushalmi that seems to say that it's only limited to Kohanim, the whole Israel. Because the Gemara and Nazar are adopting Dalit, that in the airspace of Chutz Lartz it's Tumah Eretz Ha'amid. So the whole Israel is limited to a Kohen. The Gaon says they're Kohen. That you know there's a Shlush Yaakov that says us are going to live in Chutz Lartz. Who's a Kohen here? Oh, we have a lot of Kohanim. How could a Kohen live in Chutz Lartz? The Shach says it's okay. But the Shlush Yaakov actually says us are going to live in Chutz Lartz. So the whole Israel is limited to Kohanim. Okay, but we all like the Shachladin, it's okay for a Kohen to live in Chutz Lartz. Okay, three different reasons as to why this Isser leave Eretz Yisrael. But we said the Isser is Amanas Lachzor, You could go if there's a mitzvah, amnas, and even a mitzvah visiting a friend is enough, amnas das. Oh. So this explains the Ritva quite well. Why? Why does this explain the Ritva quite well? John, why should we initially go from 1 to 2? If in 2 I can follow the mitzvah of living there in Israel, why should we also? So from the perspective of number 1, it would be liquor. But from the perspective of what? 2, it's also because I don't have the mitzvah truths and mitzvahs in slot 2. Track 2. So if I don't have the mitzvah truths and mitzvahs, I'm really downgrading, and it's a wrong thing to do. And that's why it would be also. That's what comes out from the Shittas of what? Shittas Arit. Okay. Fine. We got that so far? This is the Chiddush that we want to suggest. Okay? Oh, Isaac. Weiter now. Very good. Let's go weiter. So what was this kasha? Ako, the Shemplatz, what floor? He brought two rides that a third circle is only mobile captured. No problem. Go ahead. I'm going to admit it, Tom. Go ahead. Excellent. So he says it's half and half. It's like, I don't know, like, there are two Kansas cities, the Apple of Adults. One Kansas City is in Missouri, one Kansas City is in Kansas. Okay? Go ahead. So Yerushalmi says explicitly that half of it is in Eretz Yisrael, half of it's in Chutz Lartz. Go ahead. And here in our Mishnah, we're talking about the Tzad of Chutz Lartz. Excellent. Very good. Okay, now get these next few lines. They're difficult. Please get them as well. Okay, go ahead. Look inside. Go ahead. Oh. Okay, now what's the story over there? You have to look up the Gemara's that Tysus quotes. What's the story over there? The Mishnah there in Gittin, and I involve an Aleph, writes that if a man says to his wife, he's giving her a get today, day one, he does not return for 30 days. He does not return for 30 days. What's the halacha? The halacha is that the get will be a get. If he does return, then the get is nullified and they remain married. Okay. Now, the Mishnah says, he went to Medina Shiyah and he came to Akko. He arrived at Akko. Now, we assume the following Chiddush, and I want you to get this. Akko is Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Lartz. Well, based on what Rabbeinu Tam said, it's half and half. So, the Gemara has the following kasha. The Mishnah seems to imply that Akko is Chutz Lartz. The Gemara asks, but the Rabbanan only escorted the Rabbanan from Eretz Yisrael. The Rabbanan Eretz only escorted the Rabbanan of Chutz Lartz to Akko. That implies that Akko is Eretz Yisrael. So, therefore, why on earth we can ask a kasha according to Rabbeinu Tam, if Rabbeinu Tam holds that half of Akko is what? Is in Eretz Yisrael. And half of Akko is in Chutz Lartz. Why didn't the Gemara give that answer? The Gemara had a kasha. The Mishnah implies that Akko is Chutz Lartz, and the story of the Rabbanan implies that Akko is what? Is Eretz Yisrael. Sphira, the Gemara asks that and getting the night involved in the days. What should the Gemara have answered, Seth, according to the Rabbeinu Tam? That when we say that Eretz Yisrael, part of Akko is Eretz Yisrael, and the story of the Rabbanan was the Eretz Yisrael part of Akko. And the Mishnah then implied that Akko is Chutz Lartz, you're talking about the Chutz Lartz part of Akko. That would have been a beautiful terrace. Beautiful terrace. Why did the Gemara give that terrace? So what does Tosfos say? Because it says Vihigil Akko. What does Vihigil Akko mean? That he arrived at Akko. What does Akko, Vihigil Akko mean? You arrived at Akko, meaning the beginning of Akko. So if you arrived at Akko, what does that mean? You arrived at Akko. The beginning of Akko. If Chita that we're referring to what? To that half of what? Of Eretz Yisrael. And the Chelik of Chutz Lartz is what is as outside of it. In other words, it says that he arrived at Akko. It says the following. It says, Shuv Holoch L'Medina Siyam, V'Yigia L'Akko. You have to, he got to Akko, V'Chazal L'Beisom. The get is bottle. because he returned before 30 days. What does the Lashon of Igilat Akko mean? You have to assume that what? That he got to Medina Sayyam, because then the count wouldn't start. He said if he was 30 days in Medina Sayyam, right? You have to be 30 days in Medina Sayyam. You have to consider Akko to be Chutzlarts. Right? That's what the Gemara says. You don't say like that, he never went to Medina Sayyam. If Akko is part of Eretz, then we consider him never. If he goes 30 days to Medina Sayyam, then the get his ball. Well, did he go 30 days to Medina Sayyam? You have to consider Akko to be part of Chutzlarts. It has to be considered to be part of Chutzlarts. If that's the case, so why do I want him to stop at Akko? So therefore, that was the kasha of the Gemara. So why did the Gemara give this answer? The answer is the Mishnah cannot be talking about the Chutzlarts side. Why can it not be talking about the Chutzlarts side of Akko? Because what is the phraseology of the Igil Akko mean? What is the Igil Akko? The Igil Akko implies that he got to the beginning of Akko. And that's referring to the side of what? The side of Eretz Yisrael side of Akko. You're referring to the Eretz Yisrael side of Akko. So if you're referring to that some of Eretz Yisrael, the Chelek of Chutz La'aretz is further from it. So that is why the Gemara could not have given that answer. That is why the Gemara could not have given that answer. I read it again inside. Go ahead. V'hadalo Mishani, take a look. Once I have developed, Rabbeinu Tam had a theory. Rabbeinu Tam had two cases where Akko was what? Only Bavel. And we imply that what? And our Mishnah implies that Akko is Chutzlarts. What's the answer? Our Mishnah about the Chutzlarts side of Akko and the two stories that he proved that Akko was what Oli Bavel was talking about there is a strong side of Akko. No problem. Now he says, well, why did the Gemara give that answer to the Kasha that it asks and get 9 votes? Go ahead. The how was? Right. And he comes back before the 30 days end, so the get is not good. Go ahead, Hainu. Yeah, why don't we say he came back to the side of the Chutzlarts side? Go ahead. Oh, so that's the period. That's the parents. That's the kasha. Once you've developed the half of it is Eretz Yisrael, half is Chutzlarts, so you could answer the Gemara's kasha very easily. The Rabbanan story is there to Yisrael side of Akko, and this Mishnah's talking about what? The Chutzlarts side of Akko. It's a beautiful answer. Why did the Gemara give it an Ayin in base? That's what Rabbeinu Tam is asking on himself. You follow me? Again, nachma. I'll read the lashon again. V'had lo mishani nami b'mishachso. Why did the Gemara give that answer an Ayin in base? Masnisni lo basim yakan ad shloshim yom. V'igil Akko v'chazer v'tolafnai. And that implies that Akko's Chutzlarts, and the story of the Rabbanan applies that Akko's there itself. Stira, Hainu also shot some Chutzlarts. We're talking about he arrived in Akko on the Chutzlarts side. So if he arrived in the Chutzlarts side, it's Bittul Tanai. Hainu also shot some Chutzlarts. Go ahead, Hainu. Why didn't it give that answer? Go ahead. Exactly. Because when you go out of Eretz Yisrael, you don't jump. When you go out of Eretz Yisrael, you live in Yerushalayim, you want to go through Akko. Which part of Akko do you get to first? The Eretz Yisrael part of Akko. Go ahead. And the phrase, put a cap period in, and the phrase, the Gil Akko, mashmo what? Right, the Gil Akko implies what? The beginning of Akko. It implies the beginning of Akko. So therefore, Tosus is saying that what? What is the beginning of Akko? The Eretz Yisrael side of Akko. Yeah, Nachum. It's not hard. We just have to get this back. Why didn't the Gemara give the same answer? Give the answer that Rabbeinu Tam, that half of it was in Babel, half of it was in Eretz Yisrael. Half of it was in Chutzlarts, half of it was in Eretz Yisrael. What's the answer? When you travel from Yerushalayim to Akko, you touch the Eretz Yisrael part. You heal Akko. He got to Akko. He's living in Yerushalayim. He says that if he won, he doesn't return from Yerushalayim by 30 days, the get is blown. And it says, v'higil Akko. The phraseology in Mishnah is, he arrived at Akko. What does v'higil Akko imply? That he got to the what? the Eretz Yisrael side of Akel, not that he got to the Chutzlar side of Akel. Right? That's what when you leave, right, you don't jump over the Eretz Yisrael side of Akel to go to the Chutzlar side. So that's what it means. This, you could not have said that it's referring to what? It's referring to what? The Yigil Akel. What do you mean the Yigil Akel? He didn't go to Medina Siam. The Gemara asks, it's clear that Akel is Chutzlars. Because if it's considered to be Eretz Yisrael, then he wouldn't even start the count in the 3 days. Why would he get befuddled? That's the Gemara's what? That's the Gemara's theory. And the Gemara could not have given this teretz that we're talking about the Chutzlars side of Akel. He got back. We're talking about a guy who gave a get to his wife on day one. He says if he doesn't come back for 30 days, the get is going to be what? Chav. He goes to Medina Siam, he says. He stays there for 30 days, the get will be chav. If not, the get will be bokel. And the commissioner says he got to Akel. What does that mean, he got to Akel? That means he got to Akel, implying that he what? Implying that he got to the Medina Siam. Right? That he got them in the Siam, and if he doesn't come back for 30 days, what's halacha? The halacha is going to be, the get's going to be what? The get's going to be bottled. Now, you can't tell me that the Yigila Akko meant the Chutzlar side of what? The Chutzlar side of Akko. Why? Because when you travel from Yerushalayim, you get to the Eretz Yisrael side of Akko first. So therefore, the Gemara could not have given that answer. That's all. You follow what I'm saying? What is the Gemara's answer? Gemara gives a different answer. The Gemara and I involved in the base gives a different teretz. Gemara gives a different teretz and I involved in the base. But it could not have given this teretz. Okay? The Gemara could not have given this teretz. He says it's a machlokes tanoi. The Gemara says the machlokes tanoi is akor eretz Yisrael. That's what the Gemara says. Therefore, get this point. What did we just say? We just said that either of Antonis Chlorin, Akos Chutzlars, right? But it points out from these two stories that one of the Mishnah, Akos Chutzlars, two stories, Akos only Bumble, Jared Strong. How does he answer? Split half and half, no problem. That's such a good theory, half and half theory. So why don't you say that, why don't the Gemara say to get an eye above the base to solve that theory? The answer is it wouldn't fit. Because the answer would have to be the Chutzlar side of Akron. It doesn't fit. Pogaya, whatever you reach first is the Eretz Yisrael side of Akron. So it wouldn't solve the story. Okay? That's all he said. See, technically, it wouldn't answer. Gemara could not have answered that question. You got me? That's all he said. Okay. Well, this is where Rabbeinu Thomas Machadish. Now, I just want to mention, Lamaisa, let's just get this. Okay? Let's just get this. The Meiri points out the following chiddush. I thought this is very interesting. This relates to what we said back earlier. Please, let's get it. Tosus brought two rayas. Isaac read very nicely that Akko was holy bubble capture. Two rayas was Rav Abba kissed the hills of Akko, and also the Rabbanim stopped there when they were malachim. You know what the Miri says? The Miri says Rav Abba maybe holds kitchen rishon as kitchen lasalavo. We wrote on the board, Kitcher Rishon Olam Kitcher Lassalom. That's what the Rabba holds. But maybe Rav Abba held only Mitzrayim and only captured it. And he holds that Kitcher Rishon is Kitcher Lassalom. That's why Rav Abba kissed it. And the Rabbanan that stopped when they were squirting the Rabbanan of Abba, maybe they also hold Kitcher Lassalom. Kitcher Rishon Kitcher Lassalom. But Lahalacha, we paskin what? Lahalacha, we paskin no, like the Rama. Kitchen Rishona is Kitchen is Lav Kitchen Lassal level, and therefore what? The Miri could slug up Tosas proofs. We slugged it up according to the Ramban, right? That maybe he was what? Shame Merit Israel, believe what? Believe Mishars. That's why he kissed it. No proof the holy ball captured. He's saying another spar we're saying. There's no proof the holy ball captured because maybe the only trying captured. And we paskin Kitchen Rishona is Kitchen Lassal level. But we don't paskin like that. We don't pass like that. But there's certainly a possibility, says the Neri. Certainly a possibility. Certainly a possibility, you could say. Okay. The truth of the matter is that the Neri is a bit difficult. I'll tell you why. Because if you say like that Neri, what was the crush passion I involved in the base? Mishnah implies that Akko is Chutzlars. And the story implies that Akko is Eretz Yisrael. Well, maybe the Mishnah holds what? Kitchen Rishonah is Lav Kitchen Lassal Lavo. And the Rabbanah held Kitchen Rishonah is Kitchen Lassal Lavo. What would be the kasha? So the meaning is a little bit difficult to assume like that. Yeah, go ahead, Alan.
Oh, you're saying that's the answer. You're saying proof of maybe that's the answer. Okay, could be.
But I'm saying the kasha is a bit difficult. But you're saying, now he's making a good point. Maybe that's proof of the Gemara's answer. Could be. Could be, maybe that's proof of the Gemara's answer. But I'm saying maybe Tosfos wasn't comfortable with it because you wouldn't have kasha. That's all.
Okay?
All right, very good. So we're up to the Rinah. We've done the Rebbe Tam, the Rabbi, please kasha over. Real good. Kasha over real good.
Okay, work it. This is a very, very important tesis. Every tesis is important, but we have to get the din of Eretz Yisrael, this whole Mahalach that we said, from what?
From a branch of ancient Tzatzal that we built up. Okay, I just want to close. We see we try to do Allah. Let's start a little bit in Allah, and we'll close, because it's late. Okay.
We all know that Slichus begins at Rosh Chodesh Elul for Sfardim, like the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah writes, no. The Ramah writes that Slichus begins at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. Slichus must begin 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. Why four? What's the magic number four? Have you made baseball? Let's call you with four. Oh. So the two Sfars, the Shabur is master. Well, number one is, if you look in the Parshios in the Chumash, okay? I think this is the second one he quotes in order, though. In Parshios, Pinchas talks about the Karbanos of the different Chagim. It always says, Vikraftim Ola, by all the Chagim. By Rosh Hashanah, what does it say? Basisim Ola. What on earth does that mean? Shabbos says you should make yourselves an olah. That's what the Chumash means. Not allowed to be mocked of yourself. What it means is that every korban, you have to check it 4 days before to make sure there's no moon. At least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah, we have to start introspection and try to better ourselves. Be'an Lamako, Be'an Lakabero. And therefore, since we're making ourselves like a korban on Rosh Hashanah, we have to start the examination, self-examination, 4 days before. At least 4 days before. Sometimes it's more, but at least must be 4 days. What day is Rosh Hashanah this year? Tuesday? Monday night, Tuesday, is that it?
Yeah.
Monday night, Tuesday. So we go the previous Saturday night. Okay? If it would be, let's say, Thursday, then we would have 4 days, because you would have Saturday night, Sunday's one, right? Sunday night, Monday's two, Monday night, Tuesday is three, and Tuesday night, Wednesday would be four. So on Thursday, then we would, 4 days, it would be long enough. See, Rosh Hashanah can never be Adu Rosh. Rosh Hashanah never can be, first day of Rosh Hashanah can never be Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. Adu Rosh. Aleph is Sunday, Aleph is Wednesday, Aleph is Friday. First day of Rosh Hashanah can never be Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. That's on the calendar. That's what the acronym is to remember that day, Adu Rosh. So here you're going to have more than 4 days this year. But you at least need 4 days. That's the first Sfar. Mr. Brewer actually quotes in the second, that's the one Sfar. There's a second Sfar.
There's a minute to fast 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. In order to do that, I'm sorry, there's an in to fast 10 days and include Yom Kippur as being the 10th before Yom Kippur is completed. So you need to start at least 4 days before. Every day of Slichus you'll fast. You can't fast on Shavuot Shuvah. You can't fast on Rosh Hashanah. So you have to start Slichus 4 days before. On those days of Slichus, you'll fast and come out to be 10. Because there's certain days you can't fast Shavuot Shuvah, you can't fast Rosh Hashanah, you can't fast Erev Yom Kippur because you got to eat, right? So that's why you got to start earlier before Rosh Hashanah. These are two distinct svaras why we start Shlichus 4 days before Ashkenazim. They seriously fast the whole month. Okay? Oh. Now, it's very, very interesting that the Rav Zatzal said that Shlichus is a hakdama to tefillah. That's how we categorize Shlichus. Very important. The Rav said that Shlichus is a hakdama to tefillah. It's an introduction to davening. Therefore, there is a din that whoever davens for the omen for Shlichus should also daven for the omen for the davening. fact, some Achronim say that even if you said Slichus at night, you should, even if you say Slichus in the morning, you should be the same fellow that's going to daven what? Ma'ariv, the previous night. Okay? The reason being that anyone who starts a mitzvah, we tell him to finish it. Chas v'shalom. The Gemara has a very severe language. If someone starts a mitzvah and doesn't finish, he's kol rish to ubalach. Whatever that means. It should never happen, chas v'shalom. But it shows that a person's lazy, becomes disinterested in mitzvahs. And the Rav said, if you daven for yomer, for shlichus, then finish the job. Finish the job. That's why the Mishrur has a machlekes. Who wins? A yortzeit or the guy who davened for the omen for slichus? So it's a machlekes, the Magen Avraham and the Eliyahu Rabba. What's the svar? You think yortzeit always wins? No. Here it might be different because of the Rav's finish that slichus is a hakdama. Never even beat out a yortzeit. So that's a very critical din. Let's just close with what is the best time to say slichus. So there are four times. The best time is to say it early, early in the morning, before Amud Hashachar. Let's say, like an hour, let's say 5 in the morning. About this time now. That's the best time. The Shina is floating, says the Mishnah Berurah. So let's say Sha'akas Kodesh Amud Hashachar. That's the best optimal time to say it. And the truth is, the times are getting really well, really early. So it could be that you could do it. Okay. Second optimal time is Acharei Chatzos. So there's a minion here also as well. Okay. The third most optimal time is before Shacharis, whenever you daven like half an hour before, which is what many people do, which is what I myself do. Hopefully, though, the times are going to be, they'll be able to get this in, because the times are getting really early now. So hopefully by the time we start Slichus, it will be able to be number one. Number two is also very legitimate. Number three is also legitimate. Number four, Rebavadi says it's not legitimate at all. Rebavadi has a very strong tshuva. There are those that say Slichus before Chatzos, you know, like at 10 o'clock. He's very against it. Now there are some makaris you can find that legitimatize it, and we always have to makabit everyone's shita, of course. But Rebavadi is very against saying Slichus kodem chatzos. And you really should strive never to say Slichus before 10 o'clock. I mean before chatzos, okay? Before chatzos, he has a lasha that your coach has been atheist. Like I'll pick up all that. It's a bad thing to say the Slichus before chatzos. So optimally, we have one, two, or three, but we should strive not to have four, but we have to treat Slichus, as the Rav said, as a hakdoma to tefillah. Okay, chats are over, guys. Everyone have a good day. And we'll continue the tests tomorrow. Everyone have a good day. It's too early. Good day.
Yeah, let me do the mirror.
Good day, Yaakov. All right, very good.
Guys, two sheets.
How are you feeling? Better?